Women are changing hockey, and we're here to talk about it. This is Chell Chit Chat, and I am your host, Liz Hood. I can't believe episode one is finally here. There are 10 incredible episodes lined up for this season, and I couldn't think of a better guest or topic to start off season one. Today's episode is all about personal branding, so I am bringing on one of my favorite people with one of the coolest identities in the hockey industry to talk about exactly that. Annie O'Donnell, or maybe better known to many as Sweet Annie O'D, is a sports content creator from Southern California who has developed an incredible brand and reputation based on her love for sports, as well as so many other incredible things about her, like her interest in music and fashion. Annie and I are going to sit down today and we're going to talk about how important it is to be your authentic self in hockey because, let's be real, it needs you. There is space in hockey for your true self, and so we're going to talk today about how to put together all the little pieces of you to build up that incredible personal brand that we know you're capable of, and how to stick with it even when things get hard. I am so glad you're here for episode one with Annie O'Donnell. So without further ado, let's talk about how to build your personal brand in hockey. Welcome everyone to the very first episode of Chell Chit Chat. Holy smokes, I am so psyched that you are finally listening to the very first episode of my passion project, and I couldn't think of anyone better to be joining me for the first episode. Annie O'Donnell, Miss Sweet Annie O'D, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. How about you? I'm so honored to be on your first episode. I'm so excited for this journey for you. I think the absolute world of you, and I cannot wait to see where this takes you.
Oh, well, that makes me so happy to hear. The feeling is so mutual. I love supporting you in your career, you and your personal brand, which we are going to be talking about today. I am so fired up that you're my guest to talk about this episode. For the 10 episodes in this season, I thought very carefully about which specific resources I wanted to build on this show to help girls who want to progress in the world of hockey, become more involved, grow a career, feel more welcome and part of the community. And so we have a lot of different things on the docket for this season, but I wanted to start it off with a topic that I think is so important, specifically in the sports industry, which is how to build your personal brand. And this is something that, you know, a lot of people may have thought about a little bit, think about in different ways, but I wanted to bring on Annie to give her perspective on specifically building your personal brand in the world of hockey, just because in this space, people talk about, you know, the nepotism that exists and how much networking is super important. Building up a personal brand is important for everyone. So Annie, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself to get things started, and then we'll start rolling on what we want to talk about with personal branding.
Sure. So I am a content creator. I specialize in hockey, do dabble a little bit in baseball and football as well. I've been making content for about just over five years now, which is crazy to think about. Hard to believe that it's been that long. But I kind of started posting on social media back just before COVID, started with a podcast where I kind of just wanted a space to just talk about sports because I felt like I really didn't have anybody to just talk about current events or, you know, things that I want, you know, just kind of things that would come up for me. And then COVID hits, and then I eventually transitioned to social media where I started posting on TikTok. And during the bubble, the return to play, the Stanley Cup playoffs in the bubbles, that's when some of my videos started to take off, specifically with hockey. And from there, I've just kind of been able to build social platforms, and it's been such a crazy ride since, and it's transformed into working with teams, working with the league on a couple things, me relaunching another podcast called Cherry Bomb, my passion project currently. So it's just been a fun ride, kind of figuring out my way into the sports industry. I started thinking that I wanted to work for a team, kind of do the corporate thing, and realized quickly through internships that that really wasn't for me. And then even when I tried to, you know, figure out my way through other avenues because I knew I wanted to work in sports, it was, you know, I did everything. I networked, I met the right people, and I was constantly met with closed doors. So I built myself my own damn door, and it's been a wild ride.
I mean, I think the door that you've built, you let yourself through it, but I feel like other people are starting to squeak through this door as well. I think there's a really interesting space that you've started to kind of create here in specifically the hockey industry that's super cool, which is why I brought you on today. And we're going to talk a little bit about kind of personal brand. So yeah, for those people who may not be familiar with your specific TikTok page or your podcast or anything like that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about kind of the, I'm going to butcher this, but like, what is this? The Metallica Barbie, this whole, like, so many different aspects of your personal brand kind of fused together to make something I consider to be extremely unique in the hockey space. But tell everyone a little bit about you and kind of the different aspects of your life that trickle into kind of your online persona.
So it's kind of funny because I feel like from a very early age and from, you know, I think just as we as human beings and wanting to, we have this desire to fit in. We have this desire to want to be accepted and feel like we belong certain places. And I think as you're progressing in your professional career, you will be constantly be told about the things that how you need to present yourself and how you have to go about doing things. Your presence online, that was really big for me growing up, where everyone's like, don't post holding a drink in your hand, you know, don't do this, otherwise, you know, you'll get rejected off, your jobs won't even look at you, which is crazy to think nowadays. But I really was somebody, you know, kind of growing up and being a teenager, I feel like I knew who I was from a pretty early age, but allowed a lot of society and things to make me feel like I had to tone that down and fit into a box and like the things that other people liked. And, oh no, don't talk about that. No, you have to play it cool, especially in sports front offices where I was an intern. And not to say like you got a fangirl and like be unprofessional, but like it's cool to be excited about things. And I feel like in a lot of industries, not only sports, but people kind of tell you to play it cool and like tone it down a bit. And that never sat well with me. So I, you know, throughout, I would say for a good part of the last 5 years, my whole mantra has been to be fearless and authentically myself. And that for a long time was scary because putting yourself out there is terrifying, especially on the internet where everybody has an opinion and people can say whatever they want to say. They can comment. People that know you from years ago can send it in their group chats, which now I feel like I, if they're going to talk about you, they're already talking about you. But I really just started to make content that I wanted to see and make content with things that resonated with me. So a couple things about me. I've always loved fashion, always loved just fun, different ways. I loved never necessarily, not to say I was like away from trends, but I like to wear what I want to wear. I really don't concern myself with, oh, I have to wear what's in right now, what the top, what celebrities are wearing, what influencers are wearing right now. That's never been my thing. I'm going to wear what I want to wear. And I've always had an affinity for, you know, thrifting, 90s clothes, things like that. And, you know, there's been a resurgence of, you know, I don't want to say thrifting culture, but that's kind of really come back lately. And then I also love rock and roll. I love music. I love the vibe of one of my favorite things to do when I'm not watching hockey. I love the vibe of a dive bar. I love, you know, just kind of there's no pretension there. There's just a homey, welcoming feeling, which is always kind of the way that I like to, you know, that's the way I like to be received. That's the way I want people to feel me. I want people to feel like they can come as they are, be themselves. And because in a world where, like, I don't know, I just feel like there's so many times where people are just so feared for being who they are. And especially in a sport like hockey, where you feel like you have to fit this certain mold. And that stretches beyond fandom. That stretches to, I feel like, the players and to front offices and things. There's a way to do things. There's all the unwritten rules and things like that. And for me, I was just, you know, I'm going to come at this sport in my own way and try my best to tie in the things that I love. So that's why, like, I'll do game day fits. I'll do, you know, assigning NHL teams as rock bands, because those are the things that I love. And honestly, and it's the funniest thing, because there's times where you'll try and do content that you think is trending and resonating and like that's popular, like, you know, the Eras Tour going on. I respect Taylor Swift and what she's done. I'm not a big Swiftie. That's just, it's not my style of music. I respect her. She's incredibly talented, obviously incredibly successful, but I don't resonate with her discography. I said that right? Yeah, discography. And, you know, I tried to do a, you know, NHL teams as Taylor Swift albums. And you could tell it was inauthentic because I had to ask my friends for help and, you know, things. But I said, you know what? I'm going to do something I know a lot about. And that is 70s, 80s rock. That is my tried and true passion. So I tied NHL teams into that. And it was such a hit. So it's so funny how that works when you just make content you want to see and also things that people can tell that you love and that you resonate with. So I always, you know, and it's funny because there's a lot of crossover with, you know, hockey fans liking rock music. So that kind of taps in places. And then also with a very large women crowd that are looking for fun things to wear to games and how to, you know, especially in a sport and sports in general, where somehow can't get a grasp on women's fashion. Even in the year 2025, there's still brands that just miss the mark completely. So even while being true to myself, it's the fact that different crowds see pieces of themselves in me.
That applies to me as well, right? Like, I don't listen to a lot of Metallica particularly, but one of my favorite albums in the world is the 2005 cover album, yeah, by Def Leppard. I love Def Leppard.
Hell,
that's
yeah.
Something that you talk about. A couple other things, a little bit less my jam. I do listen to Taylor Swift. I don't have a really good sense of fashion, but I, you know, when you style particularly, like, I upcycled things. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. And that's something that I could do because I have that piece in my closet. Other stuff, not so much. I don't have to completely personally align in terms of exactly what I do with 100% of your content in order to be interested in the personal brand, support the personal brand, and find that your content resonates with me, because you develop a sense of trust with people who create content online that, you like you said, feels authentic. And, you know, you find 1, 2, 3 videos that are perfect for you. And if you find a fourth that maybe isn't completely in line with exactly where your brain is at, okay.
Yeah.
And then you'll move on to video number 5 and there it is. And it's all great, right? And I want to focus, though, on a little bit of that first part of your answer that I think was so important, of just the whole concept of being authentically yourself. And it frustrates me to no end. And I think it will resonate with a lot of people who listen to this type of show, how women are treated in terms of fandom when it comes to sport, right? People compare, you know, the Eras Tour, for example, to the Super Bowl, or Super Bowl is maybe a bad example, a college football game in the U.S. And, you know, girls crying and hugging one another, people are like, they're crazy. See this going on in a college football game, they're passionate, right? And there's a huge discrepancy between women and men. And then yet, it's not sports versus music or anything like that, because women are ridiculed in sports as well for the way that they fan. And I want to hear you touch a little bit on that, and just the terms of how that narrative is hopefully changing, and how you're trying to push the narrative that, you know, why don't we just leave people alone and let them be a fan if that's what they want to do in whatever way that looks for them.
It's so funny because you like to think, especially post-pandemic, where everybody was affected one way or another. Everyone's mental health, you know, in some aspect of somebody's life, it was impacted. And you would think coming out of the pandemic, we would just let people enjoy things. If it brings somebody joy, it doesn't harm. It's not harming anybody, and it's not financially or physically impacting your life, like, why do you care? I feel the same way about Disney adults too. Like, people like to give them a hard time, and I'm just like, why?
So happy.
Like,
leave them
alone.
They're
happy. For one, like, they can afford to go to Disney. Like, good for them. They can afford hobby. Like, props to them. But, like, you know, you never really know, like, what somebody has gone through either. And, like, they say, you know, a lot of Disney adults, like, there's some childhood trauma there, and it kind of heals their inner child. But even if they just really rock with Disney and it makes them happy, like, I think that's so cool. And, you know, you always find too that, like, the happier you are in your life and your space, the less likely you are to look at somebody else's and judge and hate there. But it's so funny because it's constant, you know, especially I love the meme where it's a tweet and somebody says, like, I love, like, NFL games. There's always, you pan over, there's always a grown man wearing face paint and something weird on his head, and somebody, like, posts a picture of, like, somebody at a Dallas Cowboy, like a bald guy at a Dallas Cowboys game with the whole logo painted on his face. But you have a girl going to the Eras Tour in her cute sparkly outfit, her boots, and her cute makeup, and getting emotional about a song that got her through a really hard time, and, you know, everyone's saying, oh, that's weird. Like, that's, you know, oh.
That's where we draw the line, I guess. Okay.
That's where we're right. Right. Exactly. Meanwhile, like, grown men crying when their team wins the Super Bowl, when, you know, their
cheese
team
on
wins
their
the
heads.
World.
Like, my God.
Like, literally. I was like, you're wearing a slice of cheese on your head, man. And you want to judge other people? Like, it's, we have to understand, like, sports fandom and, you know, being a fan of somebody's, you know, it's hand in hand. You know, it's different. Well, I don't want to, there's got to be a better narrative of it. It's like, it's, you know, like two sides of the same coin kind of thing. Like, it's absolutely just directed differently. And of course, but women being passionate is, you know, people like to turn their heads at that. And it's so, especially I feel like in hockey right now, where hockey's such a sport that I think attracts a group of people that, you know, hockey, especially in the States, where hockey is, you know, a number four sport out of the four major professional sports. So it's not your mainstream like the NFL. It's not, you know, the NBA stealing headlines. It's not Major League Baseball. But, you know, it's a sport that makes people feel more included. And hey, there's more niche players that they can latch onto. There's community there. And I'm somebody that, you know, I've met a lot of my friends through the internet, even back in high school, where I was being in Southern California back in the, you know, 2000s, 2010s, where not a lot of people liked hockey. And a lot of my friends in my high school, I was like the only, I would spend lunch hour, you know, looking up hockey stats and watching hockey highlights. Like, it was a community that made me feel included. And, you know, that's how you found your people. So the fact that I feel like there's just such this notion towards, you know, kind of the newer fans. And I'm like, listen, the more people that want to love the sport and want to learn about it and, you know, especially my team, like, hey, you want to come cheer for my team? I think the more the merrier. But, you know, everyone likes to say, oh, bandwagon. Oh, you know, too many teams kind of thing. You're just like, dude, like, let people live.
No, like you said, when you start policing other people's interests, it's like, okay, you clearly don't have enough good things going on in your life.
But exactly.
When
exactly.
It comes to the, you know, the aspect of going against the grain a little bit and trying to be a little bit more outside the box, outside the conventional sports creator or whatever, it's not always easy. And I'm sure, you know, when you were first starting out, it's probably was more difficult even, you know, than it is now. You've developed probably some mechanisms to manage people being annoying, to manage how you feel. Maybe, oh, there's always an element of imposter syndrome when you work in sports, right? And like dealing with all those different things. Can you kind of walk us through the journey of, you know, maybe the harder parts of starting with a personal brand that was maybe a little bit more unconventional and how you stuck with it and stayed true to yourself throughout that process?
It's still something I work through, and I don't think imposter syndrome, especially for women, I don't think it ever goes away. I don't think it's just kind of that voice in your head where you have to silence it and say, no, I belong here. I've done the work. Like, the numbers prove it. I mean, even, you know, this past weekend in Canada, I'll be honest, there were moments where I was just like, why, you know, look at all these people that are massive creators and so talented and have these massive followings. And I'm here thinking like, why am I here? You know, but I think back and I look to myself, and even I was talking to my friend about it, and she said, look at the platforms you've built. I was like, you can sell out Madison Square Garden multiple times with your following. And it's one of those things where you got to look and you're like, hell yeah. Like, okay. Like, you kind of, it's one of those things where you're so focused on comparing yourself to other people that you don't look back and see how far you've come. But I think for me, like, just starting out, you know, you're going to trip. You're going to make some mistakes. Your videos are going to end up on the wrong side of social media. People are going to misinterpret them, whether or not you had good intentions or not, which still happens to me to this day. It happened to me on Twitter last week. I tweeted something about, you know, because the NHL changed their profile picture to Macklin Celebrini kind of going into the face of the camera, which I thought was so funny. They changed their TikTok profile picture to that. And I was just like, the way that the NHL is marketing this kid, I was like, this is who they wanted Connor Bedard to be. This is what they want. Like, this literally. And I quote, that's what I said. And it kind of got on the wrong side of Twitter, where people thought I was bullying teenagers and pitting them against each other, which I was not doing. And anyone who follows me knows, like, I'm not a negative person. I would never, one, bully teenagers. Two, I, you know, pin players against each other, comparing, like, that was not the intention at all, even though it was read that way by some people. And, you know, especially like when you talk about personal preferences, like, I feel like for hockey, especially, there's so, people think, oh, you know, there's a hierarchy, like, for certain ways. You have to think that Chelsea Dagger is the best goal horn in the NHL. You have to think that the Chicago Blackhawks uniform and logo are the best in the NHL. Anyone who thinks differently or otherwise is wrong. So I remember making a worst goal horn list, and I put Chelsea Dagger at the top of the list simply because I was a Ducks fan, and it gives me PTSD, especially from 2015. I still got so much hate on it. And like, it was supposed to be kind of funny, like, have a personal touch in there where, yeah, like, not everyone's lists are going to be the same. Not every fan list is going to put, you know, bias aside and have, oh no, these are these are definitely the rankings here. I mean, even Vancouver Canucks fans were like, no, I get that. I feel that.
You would, wouldn't you?
Exactly. I still think, did you ever see that YouTube video where, I think it was the Canucks social, I can't remember if it was TSN or the Canucks, so I can't imagine it would be the Canucks page. I feel like it was TSN that went around to the different members of the Canucks. It was only went to the Sedins, to Kevin Bieksa, to Ryan Kessler, and they put headphones, they played Chelsea Dagger, and so many of them like just took immediately. And they're play that for Roberto Luongo. Like, it's crazy. Like, they
what was that? It was a Charlie Lindgren or something one the other day when he was in Nashville. And he's like, I like their goal horn. Too bad they didn't get to hear it tonight because they got a shutout or something. It was so good. Like, I love it when they engage the players like that. Go on.
But it's, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't get to where I was by playing it safe. I didn't get it to where I was by posting things I knew people were going to agree with. I got here because I'm authentic. I speak my mind, and you know, has that impacted me in a lot of ways? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, because I say things and I've criticized the league a lot of ways. You know, it's, you know, and that's another thing you have to take into account when you're posting things. It's like, hey, not everybody's gonna like what you post, and certain people and higher up people probably won't like it either. But I value the authenticity. I value having that, you know, transparency with my following to do that. But you have to, you know, as long as you're not being offensive, as long as you're not hurting anybody, post the content. Like, speak your mind, because chances are there's somebody out there that agrees with you. And I found that when, you know, every time I post anything about wins being a team stat, not a goalie stat, anytime I post something about, you know, start, bench, cut, Marty, Patrick Waugh, Dominic Hasek, it always, there's always people saying I don't know what I'm talking about. There's always going to be somebody. And at the end of the day, like, you got to be sure in yourself and say, like, I know who I am. I know what I'm talking about. Just because, you know, Dominic from Manitoba doesn't think I know what I'm talking about, like, okay. Or like, you know, Jake, this 14-year-old kid out in Massachusetts says, you don't know hockey. Like, okay.
How will I
ever move on? Exactly. There's always, you could have all the stats, you could have all the proof in the world, and there's still going to be somebody saying you don't know what you're talking about. And you have to be okay with that.
I think that's, and it's one of those things that is definitely easier said than done. You know, I think the same thing. And then, like you said, you get one video that goes in the wrong side of TikTok and you're like, I actually think I'm going to delete this app, right? Like, it's just, but
always more, you're like, I should take this down.
But like you said, you know, you're putting more content out there, the more you could do. Oh, well, you get used to it, right? Like, you, and if you're ruffling some feathers, I bet you it means that you're doing something right, right?
It's like a muscle. You just work it out. And the more you get, there's still times where you're like, maybe I shouldn't have put, this may go up on the wrong side. But, you know, you get more comfortable with it at the end of the day. It's that scene in SpongeBob where, you know, I think it's Flats, the guy that says he's going to beat him up, and he starts punching him, and then he realizes he's a sponge. So he's just walking around while this fish is punching him. As he's walking around, he's eating his cereal, he's jellyfishing. That's what it turns into.
I love it. I think women develop some of the thickest skins and turn into 1,000% punch sponges of pretty much anyone in the hockey industry, right? So, but I do want to go and not necessarily walk back this agreement we've just come to on, you know, being yourself and everything. But I think it is important when people are, especially when you're young and trying to develop a bit of a personal brand, trying to develop a reputation, that not everything about you, not everything that comes to your head, not everything is something that you need to be particularly associating yourself with. Like me, for example, like I'm a mess of a person. I'm, you know, disorganized, whatever. I don't need to be posting pictures of my makeup brushes all over my dresser or something like that. Like, there are certain things that it's like, you know, if someone were to say, are you a super neat and tidy person? I wouldn't lie to them, but you don't need to put everything about you at the forefront. You can control what aspects of your life and who you are become central pillars of your personal brand. And, you know, if part of who you are is an unkind person, it's okay that doesn't make its way into the persona that you're crafting for yourself online, because you do have some element of control in that. And I can you speak to some of that and some of the things that it's like, hey, maybe it's okay to not include everything in the reputation you're trying to build for yourself?
Exactly. You know, I do think while I do stay true to myself, I also remind myself that there are a lot of professionals that follow me. There are a lot of, you know, prominent public figures in the sports world that follow me. So I always try to make sure, like, hey, even if I'm posting something fun, I also have a lot of family that follows me. So, you know, I'll post, hey, if I'm looking good that day, I'll post a good looking picture. If I'm feeling my outfit and it's, you know, we're going out in the town, I'll post that. But I also, you know, I also understand that, like, hey, I want my family to be proud to be associated with me. That's important to me. My family is first and foremost. I'm very careful specifically about, if you follow me, you know that my brother's currently battling brain cancer. I'm very protective of the information that I put out there, and kind of having to dabble that line between, you know, awareness and advocacy towards glioblastoma and brain cancer research while also protecting his privacy has been really important for me, and kind of figuring out the balance there. Basically, I don't post anything without his say-so, with his face in it, and with that's associated with him. You know, because I want to be transparent about the things that are going on in my life. And like we talked about, people can find, you know, cancer affects us all. You know, it touches our lives one way or another, whether it's in our immediate family or immediate circle or not. And, you know, I think that part, that vulnerability and that transparency is important. But I think, you know, I think as far as deciding what things you want to show, just, you know, be ready to go to bat for them. Be ready to, you know, if you want to talk about things, if you want to show, you know, maybe parts of your life, Dave, if you're maybe the progress or something you're working on, just know that, like, know that you're going to have to answer for it. Just know that. So even if you just realize, hey, like, I'm not in a good mental space right now. Maybe this is something I shouldn't to be talking about. Or maybe this is, you know, in my experience, it's like, if you're thinking twice about it, maybe don't post it. Hold off. Or have somebody, you know, there's times where I've, you know, screen recorded a TikTok or I've screenshotted a tweet and I've sent it to friends being like, hey, could this be negatively perceived in any way? Like, could this be in any way, you know, offensive? You know, not that I don't post offensive content, but, you know,
I'm catching what you're throwing though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, not that I do that, but, you know, you just want to make sure you're touching on, you know, topics appropriately. Like, I remember back when, you know, the Kyle Beach investigation came out, you know, when the, you know, the World Juniors investigation, I made sure that everything, you know, the TikToks I posted, I said, hey, like, I just want to make sure my bases are covered here and I address this appropriately. And, like, usually the people that say that, they're like, I appreciate you running this by me. Absolutely. Or change a couple things. But, you know, I would say don't put all of your, not, I don't want to say don't put all of yourself online, but you don't want to, I'm trying to think of the best way to word this. I think some things, you know, you want to keep for yourself. Some things, especially when it comes to other people as well. So even though, like, you know, I'll use my brother for an example. Yeah, it's something I'm going through, but you also want to know, like, he's going to be impacted too. So it's those little things kind of be cautious of. But like I said, if you're not in a good headspace, if you're saying, hey, like, maybe this is something I want to work through before I say this, or, you know, is this perceive me? How does this content make me perceived? Does it perceive me as kind? Does this perceive me as somebody, am I going to bat for somebody? Am I, you know, or is this just being a mean person? You know, I think that's really important because nobody, you know, especially in today's internet, like, nobody supports a mean girl. Nobody supports, you know, you see it now with what's the bridal makeup that's going viral now on TikTok? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
With that bride that just washed off the makeup and, like, was like, oh, I can't wait to make a TikTok about this, you know, like, things like that, that people can be perceived as hurtful. Like, are you providing value with what you're saying? And what value is it providing is what I would say as far as, you know, exposing things and kind of putting other aspects of you into your brand.
It's a super mindful way to go about just life in general. And I know you and I both, you know, spend time creating content to be publicly perceived. You know, we do it for our jobs. Yeah. It's important to do. But personally, like, and for myself and for you and for everyone, my personal brand extends beyond just people Googling me or people finding articles about me or what I'm posting on my own social pages. It's also how I conduct myself in day-to-day life. And, you know, can you speak a little bit to the importance of kind of having that consistent personal brand and that consistent, you know, authenticity and reputation when you're talking to people, when you're going about your day-to-day life, when you're speaking with people at restaurants and grocery stores when you're running your errands, and just the importance of, even if, you know, because someone might be listening to this and they're like, well, I want to work for a hockey team and I want to do their analytics and I'm never going to be on a screen or anything like that, so I don't need to worry about how I conduct myself as much. And, you know, if it's not professional networking, it doesn't matter. Like, speaking a little bit to just like how it spills into day-to-day life and how you conduct yourself as a person.
One of my first jobs out of school was sales, and was doing like inside sales and then a sales job. And then I left to pursue content creation. And one thing I always said was like, oh, I'm never going to do sales again. Like, I'm just not a salesperson. Like, baby, you are always selling yourself. Always. No matter who you're interacting with or who you meet. And that's regardless of whether you want to be a public figure, regardless whether you want to be in the media, you are always selling yourself, because the truth of the matter is you don't get a second chance at a first impression. And it's true, you know, we all got things going on, all right? You know, you can be having a good day, a bad day, but you gotta, yes, you have to go in. I always say, like, assume that people are showing up as their best self that day, no matter what they're going through. But, you know, how you treat people is really important, and how you conduct yourself in public. So even if people don't know you personally, the way they see you interact with people, the way they see you, you know, whether you're, if you're out with friends and, you know, you're maybe had a few too many drinks. And listen, we've all been there, all right? But just kind of be mindful that regardless of whether it's a networking event, like, you are always, you know, what does they say? Like, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Kind of like, and it's honestly, I believe in a big part of manifesting your dream life, and a big part of bringing things, you know, bringing good things, is show up as if you already have it. Show up, act as if you are perceiving, you know, pursuing your position that you want. You're always, you know, on your game kind of thing. And like I said, regardless of if it's job interview, whether you're out at a game, whether you're, you know, at a bar with your friends, because for one, like, and this is extreme, but like, everyone's got phones, everyone's got social media, like, simple tweet about, oh, I saw her doing this. And maybe most of the time, like, you don't want to put yourself in a position where it's anything to be misinterpreted, in my experience. So, you know, I always say, just like, show up. You're always selling yourself. And regardless of whether, you know, networking event or not, just be on your game.
Do you ever get tired? Because that's something that I find with, you know, my friends give me a hard time sometimes when you go, particularly to anything in the sporting adjacent space locally, mm-hmm. where I am. Lots of people say, hey, I follow you on Twitter. Hey, I listen to your podcast. Hey, all these different things. Yeah. And I am constantly on edge when I leave my house. And I know, you know, for someone like me, it's not the same as being a celebrity or anything like that, but you're mindful, right? Like, I'm not worried. I'm not hiring a security detail, but I also know that there may be people looking at me that I'm not looking at when I go into the public space. And how do you manage, you know, because it can be tiring. And how do you manage that and kind of keep persevering with, you know, wanting to be your best self at all times when you're kind of conducting yourself in a way that other people might see?
You know, it's funny because I thought about this recently too, was I unconsciously, I think about it a lot of the time, especially being, a lot of people associate me because I'm a Ducks fan, you know? So I know, like, you know, walking around, there's going to be some people, whether they come up to me or not, there's going to be people that recognize me, whether it's from content, whether it's from Twitter, you know, Instagram, TikTok, whatever. And there's times, like, sitting down in my seat, like, talking with my friends, and I kind of, there's times where I'm mindful. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, very early on, less so nowadays, but early on I was like, what if somebody's like listening in on what I'm saying? Like, do I want them to know what I'm like, I have to make sure, like, I get everything right. Like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, I can't mess up, which to me, it's still something I was just on a Habs fan TV clip. And I accidentally said that Cutter Gauthier was, I was in the heat of, you know, wasn't even thinking. I said Cutter Gauthier was 22 years old. He's 20, which in hindsight is not a big deal. It really isn't. No one's going to die. Like, Cutter Gauthier himself is not impacted by it. But to me, like, cause I am that kind of I have that perfectionist mindset. I'm also a Capricorn, if any of you are into astrology. So I'm very hypercritical of myself. And I, you know, it bothered me for a good bit, but it's one of those things you just got to let go of. But, you know, it can be tiring at times. Like, I remember I did a Utah in a day trip where I got to ski, and then I went to the Ducks versus Utah game, which was so much fun. And I was thinking to myself, because one of my things is, like, I always, for the most part, I try to have a great outfit for a game. And because it was a day trip, I really didn't have room to pack anything big, that, you know, and not an outfit that I would have liked. And to me, I had to think, like, practically, like, it really doesn't make sense for me to pack a whole other set of pair of pants, a whole other set of shoes, where I would have to change a bag, where I probably couldn't even, I'm probably borderlining, like, easy to carry around with me in the entire day. And for there, I was just like, you know what, like, let's not stress ourselves out too much about it. So I just, you know, it was still, like, a great outfit, you know, I still had felt comfortable, and it was still an outfit that I loved and I thought looked really good. Was it as flashy as it normally is? No, but it was one of those things where, like, you gotta just let go of that expectation of yourself. Don't stress yourself out over it. Nobody's gonna be looking at you being like, oh my god, that outfit's not good this time. Which, hey, there's honestly, that's been something I've thought about too, where it's like, not every outfit's gonna hit, and that's okay. If I like it, that's what matters. But does it get tiring? Kind of, yeah. But at the end of the day, like, I do love it though, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. So there are moments where you have to just, like, breathe, be human. It's okay. Not everyone's on their game all the time, and neither you don't have to be either.
I find personal branding, you know, it's the word brand is in it the same way that it is when you work in marketing, when you're corporate, whatever. Branding is all about identity. And when you're talking about personal brand, it's about who you are as a person. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, how, because people change. And yes, companies change their branding as well. You evolve. We've seen the epidemic of the minimalist logos. We know that companies change their brand and stuff. But as a person, yeah, you also change. And how do you kind of maintain consistency within your personal brand, but also give it space to grow and evolve and kind of change with you?
I think a big part of that is just kind of being open. And I have changed so much in the last couple of years, even though kind of my core identity has changed, but, like, the little things that, you know, I leave yourself open to learning more and to acquiring new interests. I think that's so important in life. And I guess a good metaphor would be, like, the wall behind me is, you know, it started out as, like, little pictures. And then, like, I add other things. Like, I have, like, this picture of Ovi, like, that I hadn't seen before. It came up on the Caps social media this year. And I was like, I want that for my wall. So I printed it out and I put it up there. Like, I guess a good metaphor, like, leave space on your wall for things. Kind of, you know, life's a big collection of interests and experiences that shape you and that change you. And allow that to come through. Allow space to extend yourself to other people, to expand the mindset. And that's a big thing for, you know, content, whether you want to be in content, whether you want to be an analyst, whether you want to be in sports in some capacity. The biggest thing, and I think one of the, like, I think a big turnoff for a lot of people in sports is the people that are just not open to learning anything new, that are not, that are stuck in their ways. And, you know, we can call them the good old game guys. We can call them, you know, the old heads, whatever they want, that just kind of turn their nose up to advanced statistics. They are the ones that can turn their nose up to a different audience coming in, to the inclusion of different communities and groups into the space. But just be open. Always have an open mind. Be open to learning new things and bringing new experiences, because at the end of the day, it's just going to make you a more well-rounded and stronger person. I completely believe that. And I think for me, I do my best to always keep an open mind, open ears. Kind of a metaphor I've learned is big ears, little mouth. When you're hearing of someone's experiences where you can't relate, or you don't know a lot about, you know, just, if people who are set in their ways, it's not very relatable. You know, you're not, as humans, we're bound to change. You know, we have, I think I already said it, but you go through things. The last 2.5 years, especially, like, I was not the same person that I was August 2022 before, you know, cancer impacted my life and kind of took my family's world by storm. It's one of those things where you're like, you leave space in there by wanting to be open to trying new things, be open to learning more, like I said. So one of the ways I do that is if somebody's talking about something, and sometimes it's been you, quite honestly, where, like, you'll talk about something on Twitter, you'll talk about something in a video, and I'm like, I don't know if I quite understand that. So, like, I'll deep dive into it. I'll be like, okay, like, I want to learn more. You know, if you see something you don't understand, ask questions.
I'm so excited for so many of the other episodes that are coming up on this season of Chel Chit Chat. I think a couple of different ones, they all intersect in their own ways. There's some common threads that run their way through, but
yeah,
something that I find is very consistent throughout the recording of these episodes is everyone hones in on there's no you that already exists in this industry. You can look up to people, but that person already exists. And I feel like for those of us who are, you know, younger in our career, starting out and everything like that, it can be really easy to look to someone and say, I want to be them, and sort of lose yourself a little bit when looking towards someone else. And I think the authenticity that you bring is just such a breath of fresh air that, you know, reminds people that, you know, if you try and be like everyone else, that spot is already filled. There's no room for you to be exactly like someone else. How do you balance taking inspiration from people that you want to aspire to be like? Because, you know, like you said, you need to keep learning. And if, you know, you think that you are the best person in the hockey space, well, maybe let's tone it down a little bit. There should always be people that you see around that you're like, I want to take, you know, I'm taking inspiration from this. I think that they're so good at something. I think that they conduct themselves so well in a particular instance or situation. How do you balance staying true to yourself, that authenticity that is so important, but also, you know, pulling from other people and not becoming them, but wanting to be more like them?
You know, it's, and I follow so many creators that I look up to and admire in different ways. And you hit the nail on the head. Is nobody is you. What's that saying? Nobody is you, and that is your superpower. So when people tell me, they're like, oh, who do you look up to in the industry? I was like, it's and it's difficult, especially in this space where content creation is still so new, where there isn't somebody that's doing it perfectly. We are all figuring it out as we go. Every influencer, every content creator, hell, every analyst you see, like writers, like, yeah, you can aspire to want to be, you know, big ESPN writers, or, you know, there's obviously a lot of accomplished hockey writers in the space, but, and I'm saying this regardless of what you want to do, but you should always strive to be the best you can be. Cause like you said, like, there is one you in this world. And while I, you know, there's the Abby Lee Miller saying everybody is replaceable, but I truly believe that everybody comes with their own perspective, and everybody comes with their own special print on a space. We need your gifts. We need your unique perspective. So never let anybody believe that we don't need what you have to say here. But I think it's cool to kind of, when you see something you really like, I'll take a couple examples. Like for me, like if I see an outfit I really like on somebody, one person who I love is Claire Kittle, George Kittle's wife from the San Francisco 49ers. I love her style. There's things that she wears that I just love. And like, there's things that I you know, that don't necessarily resonate with my style. But, you know, there'll be times I'll see like, oh, I really like those boots. Oh, I like the way she did that, but I wouldn't style it that way. How do I fit that piece into my own personal style? So a good way to do that too, it's like you're scrolling through content and you're saying, oh, I like that idea. Like, but let me put like a, you know, if I see somebody do a series that I really enjoy, and, you know, I say, hey, I want to put, that's a cool idea. Let me think about how I can spin that. So do that. And then obviously, big thing in content, you give credit where credit is due. So if you are inspired by somebody, you know, make sure, give them credit, give them a shout out. That's super important. I think that respect amongst creators is vital, in my opinion. But yeah, just make sure that, you know, you're kind of drawing inspiration. And that's why I love vision boards. I love Pinterest. I love things like that, where you're like, okay, like, somebody's career path and somebody's experiences shaped that person. So your experiences are going to shape you. So, and just know, like, you know, like I said, like, nobody is you. Nobody has your perspective, has your past, has your way of thinking. So never strive to be a copycat. So many, too many people in the world are trying to do that. They're trying to fit this mold of what they think, whether it's what society wants them to be, what it wants, you know, the gender, sex they're attracted to, want them to be, the industry they're in, whatever. Just make sure that you are, you know, whatever you do, wherever you draw inspiration from, just make sure it's got your signature thumbprint on it.
I think that's so important, and I just want to scream it from the rooftops. It's so important to just be you. And I think that kind of puts a nice pin in the end of our conversation. I want to end this episode and every episode with a fun little segment, is the wrong word, just kind of a last question for everyone. This is Chell Chit Chat, where we sit down, have a little chit chat about what's going on in hockey right now and how we can be better in the space. And I want to hear your Chell Chit Chat on this particular subject, your last piece of advice, maybe some insight that you wish you had known early on when it comes to building your personal brand. What is the parting message that you want to leave our audience with today?
Don't be afraid to be wrong. Don't be afraid to mess up. Don't be afraid to trip. Everybody that you see that fits your idea of success has tripped along the way. And especially in the content space, whether you're, you know, posting videos, whether you're writing, whether you're an analyst, whether you're tweeting out there, people, you're going to mess up. You're gonna have cold takes. You're gonna hold the L. You gotta be comfortable with that, because even some of the smartest people in the hockey space, look at, you know, I think they do it at ESPN. Like, they all have their predictions for each round, you know, for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Look at how many of those people, former NHL players, Olympians, you know, analysts that have been in the game forever, how many of those people are wrong? And they still have their jobs. They still are credible sources. They're still people you want insight from. So don't let the fear, honestly, we're going to take it from Cinderella's story. Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game. Do not let the fear of being wrong. Do not let the fear of being on freezing cold takes stop you from doing what you want to do. Because, you know, it's true. The losses and, you know, the mistakes really just put you more on your way. You learn from it and you can continue on. So that's, you know, truly just show up as your best self, be true to who you are. And yeah, just post. I feel like everybody says it, but like, post your content, just put yourself out there. It's scary. It's intimidating and you'll worry about what people want to think. But the scariest and hardest part is taking that first jump, taking that first step. So just jump off the high dive, babe.
Amen. I think that is such great parting advice and from such a great success story in the industry. Thank you so much, Annie, for coming on and joining me. This has been so much fun. I am so excited that this is how we kind of get to kick off this incredible season one of Chel Chit Chat that we have planned. Thank you for doing this. Make sure, folks, if you're listening in, to subscribe here on YouTube, or if you're listening on podcasts, make sure you follow and give it a 5-star rating, because we want to keep providing the best content about women changing the game in hockey for you. So, Annie, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you.